You're listening to Morning Edition on KSJD. Good morning. I'm Austin Cope. This morning, you might see some smoke in our region and maybe smell it, too. That's actually not an accident, but rather a prescribed burn by the Forest Service about 13 miles north of Dolores on Trimble Point. Of course, smoke is not the only thing that can impact air quality here in our region, and scientists monitor what's in the air throughout the year. Joining me this morning is one of those scientists. Scott Landis supervises meteorology and air quality monitoring for the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. He focuses on prescribed fires. He joins me now on the line. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Austin.
How would you describe the air quality here in southwestern Colorado this morning?
I would say it's not too bad. There was a prescribed fire, as you were talking about. They did do some burning yesterday. So there might be a little bit of residual smoke around the region this morning. But in general, I think air quality around the region is pretty good.
What kind of health impacts can smoke bring to people?
Well, the biggest impact that we look for with smoke from prescribed fires, or any type of fires for that matter, is fine particulate matter. And we kind of abbreviate that as PM2.5. And what that is are these very minute particles that you can breathe in, and they can get lodged down into your respiratory system and can really cause some health issues.
So there's a lot of probably fine particulate matter that ends up in the air. What are other examples besides smoke?
Well, when we look for PM 2.5, that can be produced naturally through things like wildfire smoke, but also from anthropogenic sources. So we look at power plants, oil and gas production. They can produce a lot in the way of PM 2.5 as well. And here in southwestern Colorado, another thing we look for is blowing dust. We get a lot of dust that comes up from the Painted Desert. And that is not so much PM 2.5, but the particles are a little bit larger. We call that PM 10, and that also can have some health impacts.
Now, I'm curious here, what do the numbers mean on that?
So that's basically the size of the particle. We're talking about microns. 2.5 is kind of the smallest one that we measure, the ones that can do the most harm. When we talk about PM10, it's more in the line of 10 microns. And that is not going to be as impactful as 2.5. It's not going to get down as lodged as deep down into your lungs, but it still can produce some problems.
Okay. So if, at the risk of oversimplifying here, if you could talk about in general what we see more of in our region, whether it's prescribed fires or pollution from area power plants or dust, how would you break that down?
Well, it depends. I mean, we get a little bit of each, I would say. We don't have major problems like other parts of the country with any of those types of pollutants, but we do have issues from time to time. So during the wildfire season, throughout the southwestern U.S., we will get some of these episodes where we get higher values of PM 2.5. With prescribed fires, we'll get those as well. Fortunately, we can permit. We have a permitting program here in Colorado. We can try to limit the amount of smoke that these prescribed fires do emit. Ozone, now that can be an issue at times for our region as well. It's a little bit more site-specific, though. For folks in, say, Montezuma County, we're not seeing as much in the way of higher ozone. In contrast, just head on over Mesa Verde National Park in La Plata County, and they have higher ozone, and the reason for that is anthropogenic sources, more in the way of oil and gas, and more power plants as well.
Okay. Now, describe for us, for those of us who don't know what ozone is, what exactly is ozone?
Well, ozone is basically three molecules of oxygen. So ozone is really a benefit for us when it's higher up in the atmosphere, because what it does is it will block ultraviolet radiation, and that's good for us here on the surface of the Earth. The flip side to this is if you have ozone towards the surface of the Earth, it's not necessarily something you want to breathe a lot in. So we will get ozone production basically from oil and gas, from power plants. You'll get a combination of sources that will create ozone. And we also get on occasion what we call stratospheric ozone intrusions. So basically, this is ozone that's way up in the atmosphere, the ozone that protects us. But if the atmosphere really gets volatile, we will get some of these episodes where the ozone will be transported from high up in the atmosphere down to the surface. And that will increase our ozone, and we can have health impacts from that.
Are there ways that you can forecast when that is going to happen?
We do our best. We really do our best. On the stratospheric ozone intrusions, we do forecast those. We look at a lot of different things, atmospheric models, particularly upper-level charts. We try to find out when the atmosphere is really riled up in the mid to upper levels of the atmosphere. That's when you're going to see this transport of the ozone from the higher levels down to the surface. So we do try to forecast these. It can be tricky. And this is the time of year, really, in southwestern Colorado where we will see some of these intrusions in May into the early part of June.
What other challenges or, say, limitations do you encounter when you're monitoring air quality?
There's a lot of challenges that go along with that. You know, obviously, we only have a set number of monitors at the time, so our monitors are not going to catch everything. If there is a wildfire, you know, way up in the San Juans, and we don't have a monitor there, we kind of have to estimate what's going on with that smoke. What are the fine particulate levels going to be? And a lot of times, we'll have to look at things like satellite imagery. We will look at webcam imagery, try to find out how thick the smoke is, to try to come to a determination if the smoke is going to have some health impacts.
Also, one other thing I'm thinking about is we're, of course, here in the Four Corners and right where four states come together. How much do state borders have an impact on how you monitor?
Well, we certainly do see impacts come in from other states. As I was mentioning before, in La Plata County, there are sometimes some issues with ozone. There is definitely some oil and gas and power plants there in La Plata County, but the prevalent wind flow, especially during the afternoons and the summer, is coming out of New Mexico, where there's also, in northwestern New Mexico, a lot of anthropogenic sources as well. And, of course, with the blowing dust issues that we do get from time to time, a lot of that dust is coming in from the Painted Desert of Arizona. So obviously, when we're monitoring the air quality here in Colorado, we're not limiting just to what's happening here in the state. It's stuff that's coming in from other states.
How much do you work with air quality monitoring specialists in other states?
We do. We collaborate with other states. We also work with the EPA. We have a number of monitors that we will refer to in other states to kind of get an idea of, okay, the air quality is like this in this state, and the wind transport is going to be bringing it into our state. So we do work with other states to try to get a, you know, better determination of what we're going to experience here in Colorado.
So in just a few moments here, let's pull back for a moment. Why is it important for us to monitor air quality? Why is your job important?
Well, you know, air quality is one of those things that people sometimes do take for granted, but it is a big player for us here. There's lots of folks who suffer from asthma, from other heart and lung ailments, and when we get a lot of dust in the atmosphere, ozone, these people are suffering. So we need to let people know, hey, the air quality is not going to be good in 24 hours. You may want to limit your activities, stay indoors. So air quality really can have an impact on people's day-to-day lives, and we want to let people know when it's really going to be impactful for them.
Mm-hmm. Anything we should keep in mind today?
Well, today, obviously, we have that prescribed fire up there, but again, we do our best to, and the United States Forest Service does a great job as well, to burn only so much. We don't want to smoke people out as they're getting their job done. So for today, we'll be keeping an eye on PM2.5. We have some folks out there with monitors around the region. And, you know, we are in that time of year where some of the ozone can get in the higher levels in La Plata County. So there's a couple of monitors on the Southern Ute Reservation that we'll be keeping our eyes on for today as well.
Scott Landis is an air quality monitoring supervisor for the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. Thanks very much for talking with us this morning.
Thank you, Austin.